you find normally is grace and peace. Only in three other epistles is it mentioned grace, mercy, and peace. They are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Have a look there. You look everywhere else in every other episode, it's not there in a greeting. But when you look at 1 Timothy, we go by 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 2. You can't miss it. Grace, mercy, and peace. And then in 2 Timothy, oops, that was 2 Timothy. Now 1 Timothy chapter 1, also verse 2. Praise God, both are in verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 is grace, mercy, and peace. And then we have in the book of Titus, verse 4, to Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit didn't do it purposely, for some reason. He does. Every dot and tittle has a meaning. Even the begats can bring healing. Every word is ordained of the Holy Ghost. When we study all the episodes together and lay them down, we notice there is a particular difference. Only in 2 John and in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus is the greeting slightly different. Grace, mercy, and peace. And that's where we begin to take an eschatological view of the book of 2 John. The introduction of mercy into the greeting is a clue given by the Holy Spirit to us. And whatever way we interpret 2 John from the eschatological perspective, we need to draw references from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Because there will be some things inside that will be relevant to 2 John. But as we look here at 2 John, let's look at it from the eschatological perspective, that is, the second coming. Eschatology is the Greek word that from the Greek word eschatos, which means end things, and so it's talking about the things of the end, the last days, prophetic significance. Taking the elect lady to represent the church, we see now that John, writing as on behalf of Jesus, is telling the church, the church that is drawing near to the coming of Jesus, about the things that they must beware of. And some of the things bear reference to our days today. If you take the elect lady to represent the church, look over here in verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. Although the word some is in italics, it's not in the Greek. But the inference is that her children are walking in the Lord, but some are not yet walking fully in the Lord. Now that is true of the state of the church today as we draw near to the second coming. And the purpose of God is for the entire church to walk perfectly in Him. That's His purpose. Now, how has mercy connected to the church walking perfectly in the Lord? Obviously, He wants the church to walk perfectly in the Lord. He says in verse 4, I found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. I plead with you, lady, now not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments, that we must walk fully in that which God has commanded us. We must reach the fullness of obedience, the fullness of all that God has for us. And it's related to that big keyword, mercy. We could study mercy from the point of God's compassion and splagna. But there's another aspect of mercy that is eschatological. It is called the mercies of David. Turn to Acts 13. And we see how mercy is connected to the fullness of the church. The eschatological aspect of mercy. Acts chapter 13. And we have here in verse 34 a declaration by Paul about the promises that will be fulfilled now that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In Acts chapter 13 verse 34, he says, "And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David." Say after me, say the sure mercies of David. Now we got to think carefully what the sure mercies of David are. And the only way for us to understand what the sure mercies of David are is to go right back to the book of 2 Samuel and see when God first spoke to him about it. Let's see in 2 Samuel. Let's see 2 Samuel. And look at the time when God was talking to David in chapter 7. It all began when David wanted to build God a house. And we all hear about the tabernacle of David, the restoration of the tabernacle of David in the book of Acts 15. The tabernacle of David has a dual fulfillment. To the Jews, it means the restoration of their nation. To the church, it means the restoration of the church. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David desired to build God a house. And he told the prophet, I want to build God a house. Because God lives in a tent, and I live in a house of cedar, and I want God to have something better than me. I want God to have the best. He loved God. It was good of him. But God spoke to him that he will not build the house for him, but his son will. And then God spoke a blessing on David because of his good desires, and God pronounced his covenant on him. And that covenant is called the sure mercies of David. Let's look at what that covenant said in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up my seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now there was a dual fulfillment. There was a direct fulfillment in reference to the nation of Israel. There was an indirect reference to Jesus Christ, who established his rule and reign on the planet earth and over every nation of the world. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says in verse 14 and 15, I will be his father, he shall be my son. That is fulfilled in the nation of Israel in David's time, in Solomon's time, and thereafter in the present Israel. But it's also fulfilled eschatologically in the church. We are his children. We are sons in Jesus Christ. He is our father. There's a dual fulfillment. If he commits an iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But verse 15, but my mercy. Now you know why they say sure mercy. He ensured it. God was the insurance behind his assurance. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, to the Israelites, the sure mercy of David represents the restoration of their nation. That's another story. But we want to look at the church. God is speaking about the establishment of His kingdom among the saints. Now, we are not talking about natural kingdom and anything and all these things or any political thing. We don't have anything to do with that, right? We are talking about a spiritual kingdom. Not a natural kingdom. A spiritual kingdom that the Bible talks about of people who love God and who serve God. The way Jesus speaks about it. And here, we see that it's to be established forever. Now we notice that Solomon failed. But the mercy of God was on Solomon's descendants. Rehoboam followed him. And then a whole list of other kings of Judah until the last one also was finished off. And there was a gap of about 400 years before Jesus Christ came to the scene in the New Testament. And Israel was scattered. And it looks as if the promise of God was not fulfilled. Because the ultimate fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. God's face, the sure mercies of David are forever. He is going to base His covenant on mercy. And now Jesus, when He came, there were two covenants that He emphasized above all. The covenant to Abraham and the covenant to David. Notice, let's go over now to the New Testament. Notice, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus was sort of, in a general sense, the son of many of these people. He was the son of the son of the son of the son of. There were many of His ancestors that formed a line to Joseph, His supposed father. Because he had a miracle birth. But he took that line. And of all the people, famous people in that line, only two are mentioned specially. In Matthew 1 verse 1. He was called the son of David because He is coming to fulfill the sure mercies of David. And He is the son of Abraham because He has come to fulfill the covenant of to Abraham. And you notice something. The covenant to David and the covenant to Abraham cover the Gentile. Thank God. Abraham was supposed to be a blessing to all nations of the earth. We don't need to turn to that. You find that in Genesis chapter 12. Repeated again in Genesis 15. And every place where God spoke to him. It says, you shall be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And all the families of the earth will call you blessed. We were covered in Abraham's covenant. Which is why we are also called the seed of Abraham. In the book of Galatians. But the other covenant we need to look carefully. It's the covenant to David. Which is a very powerful one. When you look at it from the church perspective. It is the restoration of the glorious church. The church without spot and wrinkle. Neither spot nor wrinkle. In looking over in the book of Daniel at some of the prophecies about the perfect church that were confront the Antichrist. There are some promises for the saints that we need to look at. Daniel chapter 7. All these will tie us back to 2 John when we look at the eschatological fulfillment of the big word mercy. In Daniel chapter 7,